Welcome to EAN Cast, your weekly source for education, research, and updates from the European Academy of Neurology.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this EAN podcast episode. And this time it's about guidelines and guideline production. I'm here together with Katina Aleksowska. She's a neurologist, but she also works for the EAN as a methodologist, and she supports the guideline production group, and she's a member of many guideline task forces. So she's the person to talk to about guidelines. So maybe start with a simple question. What is the guideline production group?
So the guideline production group is a group of interesting people. We are all a background neurologist, but also at the same time, they are a neuroepidemiologists and people with knowledge of epidemiology and biostatistics and methods for development of guidelines, such as myself. They are more experienced people within the guideline production groups. There are two co-chairs, but also there are young members. They are representatives from the EAN RRFS section of the residents, and also members that passed the course, the COCOCA course for guideline methodology.
So quite a lot of people and a lot of input from different sides. I think guidelines, yeah, we all know very many guidelines, we work with them. But can you tell us a little bit more about the basic process? What is a guideline and how is it produced?
First, I want to speak about the main aim of the guideline production group within the EAN. We are actually working as an overseeing body of guideline production of all guidelines. And our main aim is to ensure that the EAN guidelines are of high methodological quality and also to assure that they are uniform. So in this sense, we are reviewing each guideline protocol and each manuscript before they can, and they need to be approved before they can move forward. We are also providing advice to the various guideline task forces, either as a members in the team, as their methodologists, or in some cases they have their own methodologies, but whenever they have some particular question, they can always turn back to us and ask us for some advice, and we will always provide them. We are also in charge in the overall strategy of the EAN guideline production. So we have a strategy for each 3 years to come, and within them we always try to develop different methods that will help guideline task forces in the development of guidelines. So, for example, we developed a prioritization process for guideline topics. We developed various documents that will help guideline task forces to produce their guidelines. We are in charge for the dissemination of the guidelines, as well as a next step. In the future, we are planning to work on more on the implementation of the already published guidelines. So this is the main work and the tasks of the EAN GPG. And to answer your question, what's guideline production now? This refers to a process of creating recommendations that are aimed on certain specific topics, in our case, in the field of neurology. And they can be either on diagnosis, treatment, and care of patients, prognosis, or some guidelines even can include all of them, all of those topics in one guideline as a management guideline on a certain disease. They are aimed to be used by a general neurologist or neurologists that don't have specific expertise in a particular field. Also, they can be used by patients or patient caregivers to inform themselves about their treatments and to discuss in more informed fashion with their caregivers on their decision on treatment and diagnosis, etc.
Well, the last part you mentioned is quite interesting. I never considered that patients and caregivers could also use them. Are the guidelines available to them? Can they open them? How can they access those?
Yes, they're opened. At the EAN page, there is a guideline reference center and anybody can use it. They're available at the European Journal of Neurology as well. and mainly patients can access them there. Also, we are in the future, during the next years, we are planning to start producing patient summaries that will be documents extracted from the guidelines, but they should be easier to be read and followed by someone that is not medical expert.
Very nice and very good, yeah. Another question I have, and I often wondered, how do you decide which guideline to write? Who decides and how does that work?
There is a specific topic. There is a specific process on this. It involves two parts, bottom-up and top-down procedure. The bottom-up procedure refers to a call for guideline topics, which is launched every 2 years. As I mentioned before, we developed a guideline prioritization procedure, so any EN member can propose a topic during this call for topic proposals. After that, these topics are reviewed according to a pre-specified prioritization criteria. This revision is done by the GPG and the scientific committee of the EAN. And this is how we end up with one large selection of good topics. After this, it comes the top-down procedure. So these topics are sent to the EAN board. And here they select the final list of topics according to additional criteria. This is one way. And of course, there is any other topic in between these 2 years, which may be interesting. And if there are any other urgent needs for a new guideline, anyone can propose topic outside this period of topic proposals. And they are then evaluated by the GPG and the scientific committee and approved.
All right. And once it is approved, I think a task force is established. And then what does this task force do? Like, who is a member and what kind of skills do they have? Of how do you do this?
Okay. So the task force is usually, many of them are usually members of the various relevant scientific panels. There is also a methodologist in the team and a patient representative. Once they are established, when the team is established, the development is based mainly on, first they will select topics of interest that they will cover in the guidelines, so various questions, and each guideline has different number of questions. And after that, the whole guideline is mainly based on systematic reviews and meta-analysis and on evidence synthesis. So you need a person that has knowledge in this, a part of the expertise of the certain topic. And after the evidence is analyzed, we need someone that has knowledge of the GRADE process, which is the procedure that is used to evaluate how certain are we in the evidence from the studies that we extracted. After that, there is a process of critical thinking and analysis. And here we need the knowledge of the experts and the opinions of the patients. We would also need writing and communication skills in order to, of course, write the guideline and to communicate the decisions and to be able to discuss all the important topics. We need time and project management skills, since the guidelines are usually done by more people and it is a time-consuming process. But most of all, most importantly, we need the motivation from the team, their willingness to make a difference in the care with the guideline that they are producing. And of course, the team spirit, the ability to communicate and to decide on the final recommendations together.
Yeah, a lot of things, lots of steps. And you've been a part of this often now, I think. So can you share some experiences you had, some very good things or maybe some pitfalls?
Of course. So I've been a part of a guideline production in some teams. And for me, it's a challenge. Every person is different and each task force is different. So every time I learn something new. Also, there is the challenge of how to synthesize the results and how to convey the message to the experts so they can have better recommendations. And this is always a positive challenge for me. But on the other hand, I work together with the GPG in the documents that I mentioned that are general documents for guidance of the various tax forces. And also we review guidance in which we are not involved directly as methodologists, but we critically review them if they are good or not. So now also working with the guideline production group as a team, it has been a very good experience for me. I like the fact that we are all eager to make difference. We are always eager to make improvements in the guidelines and to discuss how to do it.
And I also think all EAN members can be part of it, because I also notice these emails that are sent around. So every guideline is also sent to all members, I believe. So everybody can give input.
Yes, yes, this is also true. So whenever each guideline is completed, together with at the same time when they are submitted to the European Journal of Neurology, there is an open comment period where all members of the EAN are invited to comment on the guidelines. And sometimes we have interesting feedbacks from various people that weren't involved in the initial process of guideline development.
Yeah, indeed. And then once a guideline is finished and is published, how long are they valid? Or how often do you add things? Or how do you change things? How does that work?
This depends on topic base, and the main people in charge for checking if a guideline needs to be updated or if it's still valid are the corresponding scientific and coordinating panel. If they believe that this is necessary, then they can submit a proposal to the guideline production group. And this is evaluated again by the guideline production group and the scientific committee, and a final decision is made.
Oh yeah, and then a completely new guideline will be made, or will it be an update?
It depends on the on how recent is the topic and how big are the changes. If there is a need of new question, of totally new question, then there is new guideline or partial new guideline. But if the questions remain the same, but we have new evidence, if we have new treatments maybe for some disease, we can also update a certain question.
Okay. And you already told us that, of course, it's published in the European Journal of Neurology, and we can find it on the homepage, EAN.org. But I also know that you can find it at the EAN campus. And can you tell us a little bit more about that? Why is it there, and what can you do there with the guidelines?
At the EAN campus, then the main purpose is for education. So you can read them there, but also you can do comprehension quizzes there. And it can help you to see if you understood the guideline.
Yeah, so that's a very good thing. Eh? So all people visit the EAN campus if you want, and you can learn a lot. Katina, thank you so much for all this information about guideline production and the guideline production group and how it works. So please, if you're interested and you're listening, visit the homepage, look it up, visit the campus, and see you for the next podcast. And thank you, Katina. Goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.
This has been EAN Cast Weekly Neurology. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your preferred podcatcher for weekly updates from the European Academy of Neurology. You can also listen to this and all of our previous episodes on the EAN campus to gain points and become an EAN expert in any of our 29 neurological specialties. Simply become an EAN individual member to gain access. For more information, visit ean.org/membership. That's ean.org/membership. Thanks for listening. EAN Cast Weekly Neurology is your unbiased and independent source for educational and research-related neurological content. Although all content is provided by experts in their field, it should not be considered official medical advice.